Thursday, right? This is the Mike Malloy program. Thanks for tuning in. This hour is sponsored by Joe in Temecula, California, who wishes Willie, a Vietnam vet, a happy yet belated Veterans Day. Joe in Temecula, California is sponsoring this hour. And he's wishing Willie, a Vietnam vet, a happy and belated Veterans Day. If you'd like to sponsor part of the program, go to MikeMalloy.com, click on sponsor, and all the information is there. Late this afternoon, the U.S. House voted against extending federal unemployment benefits another 90 days, which means that jobless benefits for about 4 million Americans who are receiving unemployment now are going to end right after Thanksgiving. Another 4 million Americans. This legislation would have cost $12.5 billion to extend the deadline to file for unemployment benefits from December 1st until February 28th. 3 months. $12.5 billion. Now, the Republicans in Congress are poised to give the millionaires and the billionaires in this country and people with incomes over $250,000 a year a continuation of tax breaks that is going to cost, over the next 10 years, $700 billion. $70 billion a year. So the wealthy will get $70 billion. Another 4 million Americans who are drawing unemployment are going to be thrown off the rolls. I'm not being prescient or I don't have a crystal ball, but I will tell you, if this continues, this country is going to explode into violent revolution. People are not going to continue with this. They're not. This is what causes countries to, people in countries to take up arms against their own government. When this kind of stuff continues, without let up, without concern, people are not going to allow themselves to be turned into the street, to lose their homes, their jobs, their ability to feed their children, medical care, and just sit back on their asses and say, well, this is the natural order of things. Yes, the wealthy deserve billions of dollars in tax breaks that nobody's going to pay for except the working class, but the working class is no longer working. Well, I, a former member of the working class in this country, I'm going to sit back and allow this to happen? I'm telling you, the millionaires, you know who the richest man in Congress is? Daryl Issa, who is worth $300 million and who led the effort to kill the extension of unemployment benefits. It's not going to continue. Nancy Pelosi, who is still the Speaker of the House, said, quote, the American people struggling with high unemployment continue to look to their leaders for a lifeline until they can get back to work. Today, Democrats voted to extend unemployment insurance to Americans who lost their jobs through no fault of their own. Unfortunately, Republicans did not vote that way. The bill was brought to a floor, or brought to the House floor, under something called the Rules of Suspension. They have more rules in this crappy sewer, don't they? Don't they have rules in the House and the Senate? Huh? They have all kinds of rules. Since it was brought to the floor under the Rules of Suspension, that meant in order to pass, this bill needed two-thirds majority. Two-thirds, supermajority. But it fell 17 votes short. The final tally was 258 members of the House in favor of an extension, 154 members of the House against it. 11 Democrats voted against the measure. 11 Democrats voted no. 7 Democrats did not vote at all. That's 18 votes. One more than necessary to have passed this, even with Republican intransigence. I say those 11 Democrats should be identified and defeated and tossed out on their asses. I don't care where they're from. I don't care what districts they represent. I don't care what their political philosophy is. Throw these son of a bitches out on the street. And the 7 Democrats who didn't show up, bother to vote at all, throw them out too. I don't care if they were involved in heart surgery today. I don't care if they're having their appendixes removed. Throw them out. 18 Democrats either said no or didn't show up at all to vote. Had those 18 showed up or voted in favor of this measure, it would have been one more than necessary to pass this. These 11 Democrats should be thrown out as quickly as possible, which should be 2012, and the 7 who did not show up today should also be thrown out. The current benefits are scheduled to expire November 30th. When's Thanksgiving, Kathy? That's a week from today. The 24th? 25th? Today's the 18th. It's a week from today. The 25th is Thanksgiving. 5 days after Thanksgiving, these federal benefits kick in after the state benefits have run out. State benefits are usually 26 weeks. Sometimes you can get a 26-week extension. Federal benefits run, I think, 73 weeks normally. And this was an extent. You've heard that the 99ers, people who got 26 from the state, 73 from the feds with emergency funding, and now it's all running out. So what are these people to do? Even if the House were to pass a bill that extended the jobless benefits, the Senate also would have to take action before November 30th to keep the relief from lapsing. So the chances of the unemployed losing their benefits later this month due to Congress's inaction and due to the screw-you attitude of 7 to 18 Democrats, the chances of people losing their last lifeline, their last little bit of income, now appears certain. You know, I will just say to all the wealthy people out there, all you ghouls and bastards in right-wing radio and television that make your millions of dollars a year and sit back on your well-padded asses and talk about Obama's a socialist, if this country does explode, you guys will probably be well served to get the hell out of this country. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Well, I think we have some music. is anything working here? Yeah, well, all right. When we do come back after the break, Prairie 2's missive for today is pretty much in line with what happened today in the Congress. Stay with us. I'm Mike Kimmel.
Coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
21 past the hour. All right, from Prairie 2, today's color is blue, very blue. Prairie 2 writes, unemployment claims are up again last week. The Republicans had claimed that business would go on a hiring spree as soon as Nancy Pelosi's reign of terror was ended in the House. The Republicans did keep one of their campaign promises today as they killed the federal extensions to unemployment compensation. Some 4 million people will lose benefits at the end of November, and many will likely be homeless in time for Christmas. Who would Jesus kick to the curb? The poor and the sick, according to the Republicans. That would be the GOP. That would be God's own party. GOP, God's own party to the likes of you. The bill the Democrats put forward to extend coverage for another 3 months would have cost $12.5 billion, but the Republicans blocked the bill as being unpaid for. The Democrats call this an emergency, and that doesn't require an offset of other spending. The Republicans see crushing unemployment as normal. Funding tax cuts for billionaires is an emergency that doesn't need to be paid for ever. In order to get the 67 votes to ratify the New START treaty with the Russians, President Obama has offered to spend $80 billion on upgrading nuclear warheads. Senator Kyle of Arizona is holding up the money as he would like to earmark another $8 billion for his cronies, and none of this needs to be paid for. The warhead budget, then, of $88 billion would be enough to extend unemployment coverage for almost 2 years. By the way, this amount is just for the warheads and the labs that oversee the contractors who do the work at a huge profit. Obama's proposal doesn't include anything for delivery systems, submarines, ICBMs, B-1 bombers, and things they don't tell us about, like suitcase bombs. The New START treaty also allows for ICBMs to be converted to carry a variety of conventional warheads. This new class of warhead would reportedly include kinetic weapons. These would be super bunker busters that wouldn't even carry explosives, but would be like giant anti-tank shells slamming into its target, traveling at such incredible speed that the kinetic energy released would cut through the target like a plasma laser. The shockwave, an electromagnetic pulse produced by such a high-energy impact, would in theory destroy targets at considerable depth. You wouldn't want to be downwind of such a strike, however, as the plume of vaporized material would be quite deadly, like a depleted uranium tank shell, but on a much larger scale. The Republicans will counter that this expenditure will, quote, create, end quote, jobs. But the government doesn't create jobs. In fact, in this case, the government won't really be creating jobs as the work has little or no civilian application on the nuclear weaponry and is kept secret anyway. The warheads themselves will sit around for decades, so a handful of security jobs will be created by the product itself, but will never produce anything of value. Speaking of security jobs, Representative John Mica, a Republican of Florida, the soon-to-be chairman of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, has sent a letter to 150 airports suggesting that this would be a good time to replace their TSA employees with private contractors. This has reportedly received wide acceptance, since without congressional oversight, there will be none of that big government intrusion into airport security. We will soon be able to go back to the good old days of September 10th, or the morning of September 11th, to be more specific. My color code alternates between a depressing blue and a boiling mad red. PrairieNumeral2.com. Let's open up the phones, because I would like to hear what you got to say. We have a break here. Kathy will put some calls up. I want to hear what you got to say about the refusal of Congress to extend unemployment benefits. Seriously. Don't call in and talk about anything other than that right now. I just want to get a sense of what you think. The number here is 877-996-2556. What do you think of the refusal of the U.S. House with all the goddamn millionaires? Do you know how many millionaires? What did I hear on Oberman's program tonight? 45% of the House are millionaires? Sometimes it just gets so frustrating to... Oh, by the way, this is a very important day to Glenn Beck. This is the anniversary, if that's the right word, of the mass suicide in 1978 at Jonestown, Guyana. Talk about that a little bit later. Joe in Temecula, California is sponsoring this hour, and he wishes Willie, a Vietnam vet, a happy belated Veterans Day. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Joe in Temecula, California, who wishes Willie, a Vietnam vet, a happy yet belated Veterans Day. Okay, what I'm looking for here, and normally, as you know, we don't do this, but... this refusal of the ruling class, what else are you going to call them, in Congress, this refusal to extend emergency extension of unemployment benefits to people, 4 million more Americans, and who knows how many people depend on each one of those 4 million individually for some kind of support, some kind of food, clothing, shelter. 3, 4. That would be 12 million, 16 million more people who are being told tonight by this vote in the House today to go screw yourself. You lose your house. Your children don't have a place to take a bath at night so they can go to school in the morning. Tough. I just can't believe this. And again, I will guarantee you that if this continues, that the American people who are being slammed and slammed and slammed, millions of us, are not, unless I read history wrong and unless I misunderstand what motivates people to say, you know, you sons of bitches are not going to continue to do this to me, unless I misread all that. I'm telling you now that if this Congress doesn't alleviate some of this horror that people are going through, there will be open, violent rebellion in this country. You know it as well as I do. People are going to have a place to live. People are going to be able to go to a doctor if they need it. People are going to eat. People are going to have shelter. And if there is a class of people in this country that are preventing that because of their own filthy goddamn greed, how long do you think it'll take? It may take a while before this country explodes. And I've already said who I want when the lights go out. Joe is in San Diego. Hello, Joe.
Hello, how are you, Mike?
I'm okay.
All right, well, it only means more homelessness coming up around Christmas time, probably.
Yeah, are you, Joe, are you on a speakerphone?
No.
Are you just on a regular phone?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
You got a little echo in here.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit hard to hear you. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And it only means that there's going to be more homelessness, and there's not much hope for anything to come up next year because the Republicans are going to come in, take over the House. How's anything going to get by?
How long do you think the American people will put up with this before they take to the streets and pull the whole thing down? How long do you think it'll take?
Probably within the year, there's something that's going to come down. I wouldn't be surprised if you're right. I would guess time is getting short and shorter.
Yeah, Joe, we got a really rotten connection with you. I appreciate what you had to say, but I'm going to have to leave it there. Thanks, Joe. Take care. James is in listening on Sirius. Hello, James.
Hi, Mike. Boy, it's been a long time since I've talked to you.
Yeah? How long's it been?
Yeah, about 2 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Okay, anybody with more brains than a teabagger will know that the unemployment rate is calculated on how many people are collecting unemployment. And once the unemployment runs out, they go off the roll, right?
Is that how it works? I know that it has to do with how many people have registered at unemployment. I guess that would be it, wouldn't it? How many people are receiving unemployment comp? Okay.
Yeah, so when they, don't extend unemployment, that takes a bunch of people off the roll of unemployment, which means they're not counted as unemployed anymore. So the right-wingers can say, oh, look, when we took over, we got the unemployment rate go down.
Oh, my God. You think that's
politics.
You think that's part of what's motivating this?
Yeah, I think that's what's motivating this.
Boy, I'll tell you.
So they can say, when we took over, we got the unemployment rate down 5%.
Mm-hmm. How long do you think the American people will put up with this, James, before there's a violent reaction?
Well, the last time there was such a rotten, disparity between the poor and the rich was France in the 1780s, and we all know what happened then.
Yeah, the terrors. The terror.
Yeah, the terrors.
Okay. All right, James, thanks. Don't be a stranger. I appreciate you checking in, okay?
Oh, I listen every night.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Take care. And there's something else let me make this clear. Rebelling against the government is not necessarily what we're talking about here. Rebelling against the government of what? Against the members of Congress who said, no, we don't give a damn if you die. We don't care if your children don't have a meal. We don't care. No, I did this, and when you take a look at the, what did Oberman have on his program today? The average annual income of members of the U.S. House is around $800,000 a year. Now, that doesn't mean they all make that. Some of them make tens of millions of dollars a year, and another one might make only $200,000 or $300,000, but the average is $800,000 a year. If there comes rebellion in this country, it's not going to be against the government. It's going to be against the moneyed class, the people in this country who, through their greed and their immorality and their refusal to understand that they're riding a tiger, and this tiger's getting hungry. And if I'm telling you, I hate to see this in my country because of the potential for absolute violence. It may be months away. It may never come. But this is the kind of thing that pushes people to that point. When times are rough to begin with, through no fault of the working class, what the hell did we ever do? We didn't do a goddamn thing to bring this on. Nothing except be a bunch of dumbasses where it concerned who we voted for. That's how we brought it on, right? Except for being a bunch of dumbasses and not putting people in power who could say to the wealthy class in this country, no, you're not going to continue the exploitation. But you know what? In order to keep the queers from marrying, in order to keep women's privacy, or to destroy women's privacy, in order to make sure that there was a bunch of prayer bunk going on in schools, those are the issues that the American public voted, yeah, well, but, you know, they may destroy my job, but by God, the queers won't be able to get married. Ha, ha, ha. Right? And the Democrats in Congress, you bunch of cowards, I am so glad 40 or 50 of you are out. And the fact that Republicans beat you is just poetic justice. Maybe 2 years from now, Jesus Christ, how many times have I said this? But maybe 2 years from now, we can vote in Democrats who are really Democrats. Nah. Mike in High Point, North Carolina. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, first time caller.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, I agree with you, but I don't think there are too many real Democrats left in the country. Truman said it. I think he said it that there's no need for two Republican parties. But I have to agree with you on one point, disagree with you on another. The American people have little interest in voting for their interests. We've seen it since Reagan, the last 35 or 40 years. White working class people have continued to systematically vote against their best interests. And as far as revolution coming, it's never going to happen. The tiger that these people are riding is toothless because, you know, we're so in awe and so awestruck and still living this fantasy like we can still become one of the privileged class in this country when there's a cap on it, that people will still continue to allow the rich to defile us on a daily basis because we have hopes one day of being able to defile somebody poorer than us.
I don't
see revolution happening in this country. We don't have the stomach for it. If you look at this past election, we turned ourselves right back around to be bludgeoned by the same party that did it to us before, and we don't have the stomach. If revolution was going to happen, it would have happened in the last election, but we didn't show anything. We didn't show our stomach.
Well, I hear you, Mike, and you're making a very good point. Let's substitute the word rebellion, though, for revolution. Revolution has a heavy-duty political connotation to it, whereas rebellion is what you can see in countries who put their government and their legislative bodies on notice and the wealthy classes on notice. If you don't stop, we're coming for you. Mike, I got to leave you there. Thanks. I appreciate it, pal.
Renegade Talk Radio done right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, this hour is sponsored by Joe in Temecula, California, who wishes Willie, a Vietnam vet, a happy, even though belated, Veterans Day. I'm not quite sure how to handle this one, but Wayne, if you are listening, I'm going to read your email on the air here. This is from Wayne. He included his full name. I'm just going to call him Wayne, his first name. He writes, I'm a 58-year-old flat broke, no job for 2 years. Today was the last straw. I've decided to end my miserable life on December 1st if the Republicans block unemployment again. I have no one to ask for help. Everyone is unemployed. You're the best, Mike. I've listened to you for many years. The best to your wife and dear little Molly. I will miss you. Peace out, Wayne, and the rest of his name. Now, I don't know what the hell to do with that. You have any ideas? Well, Wayne, if you're listening, send me another email, will you? Wait, I think I've got one here. I forgot to mention I live in New Jersey. Our blanking blank 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 governor, Christie, is destroying my state. He would love to end all welfare. Well, I hope that you don't, I hope you don't do that, Wayne. I seriously hope if your email is legit, and I have no reason to believe it isn't, right? I don't know who is in your family or who you turn to for advice or comfort or solace, but there's very strong resistance in me that would say, I would never, ever, ever let the actions by a bunch of miserable bastards in Congress have that kind of a profound effect on my life. I don't know if you would send me some more information, Wayne. Maybe I can help. Maybe I can figure out some way to get some of that pressure off of you. But if you would. Write back to me. Write to me again. Let me know a little bit more about you. Brandon is in Searcy, Arkansas. Hello, Brandon.
Hi, Mr. Malloy. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was just wanting to call and discuss your comments regarding having the 18 Democrats who either voted no or did not vote booted out of office. And I thoroughly disagree, and I believe that that for those 11 that might have voted no, they may have been representing their respective districts. And it's the conflict between the parties that's keeping this country running. And that one extreme or the other could just as easily doom the country.
Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. The vote has nothing to do at all with the people in their districts. Votes.
No. They could have been upholding the ideals of their district. Their districts.
Well,
might have
do you,
wanted them
well
to
if
know.
If there are districts in this country that are so primitive, so vicious, that they would want their representative to vote no to extend unemployment benefits to people who are desperate. Those people deserve to burn in hell, right?
Well, sir, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the difference of opinions. Not everybody's going to have the same opinion. And that's exactly what's keeping this country running. And
okay, well, I'm not sure what you're saying, Brandon. You got me totally confused, so I'm just going to move on. The vote in the House today was a vote that affects people across the country. It affects everybody. This is federal money we're talking about. We're not talking about a local district. If the people in a local district are saying to their representative, vote no on extending unemployment because that's what we believe, that's what we believe in, and as a result of that vote, kids are going to be kicked to the street. The aged, the sick, the not aged, not sick, people who are desperate right now are going to be turned out. And you're telling me that that kind of tension is what keeps the country going? I have no idea what you're talking about. What you're saying, the way you're coming across, though, as somebody who doesn't have a clue about anything, frankly. I mean, if that's you sound relatively young. And if that's your opinion, or if that's what you take away from the vote today, I feel very, very, I'm trying not to be patronizing or condescending here, but I feel very sorry for you. If you believe, and I think I heard you say, the tension between the two parties is what keeps the country going. If you mean that in a positive way, that's pretty sick, dude. Really, that's pretty sick. But if you believe that, that's pretty sick. That's all I got to say. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back after the top of the hour. If you're on hold, stick around. I'll get your call when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This hour is sponsored by Bill in Paso Robles, California. And Bill's sponsorship includes this. I gratefully contribute this $100 that the show may go on, even as the country staggers. Keep up your strength, Mike and Kathy. Bill in Paso Robles, California. He is our sponsor for hour two. Thank you. Bill, if you want to know how to do this, go to MikeMalloy.com and click on the sponsor button. All right, what we're talking about here is the fact that the U.S. House today fell 17 votes short of voting to extend unemployment federal unemployment benefits for another 90 days. Which means that unless something happens when they come back from the Thanksgiving break, they'll have 2 days. This expires November 30th. And if it expires, and I think it takes the Senate, if the House passes it after the 30th, then it has to go back to the Senate, where it will go nowhere. So, and my sense of this is that people can be pushed around up to a point until they can't be pushed around again. There's so many mixed messages going on in this country right now. General Motors had an IPO today that went up. You know, it started at 33 and I think it closed at 34.19 or something. remember how the Republicans, especially these pig bastards on Fox television channel, you know who I mean, how they said it was, government motors and all this other crap, these dumb bastards. Well, it looks like, whatever you think of capitalism, and I think it sucks, whatever you think of any of this stuff, it just proves how wrong the pigs are at the Fox channel. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to get this in. Roger Ailes, late today, apologized for remarks he made to the Daily Beast, the online Tina Brown runs the Daily Beast. It's published earlier in the day, in which Roger Ailes, the the head of the Fox Channel. He called National Public Radio executives Nazis. Now, I don't see anything wrong with identifying somebody as a fascist or a Nazi when they really are, like Roger Ailes or Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh. God damn it, there is a definite definition of a Nazi or a fascist. It's in your dictionary, you fat bastard. He called NPR executives Nazis. Now, it's worth noting that Ailes has yet to apologize to NPR itself, and it doesn't sound like he has any plans to. Here's part of the letter he sent to the Anti-Defamation League National Director, Abe Foxman. What is up with that? Oh, I see. That's right. The ADL and Abe Foxman, that's who you go to and apologize. I guess if you use the N-word on somebody, you find the nearest black man and go to him and apologize. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use the N-word. Well, in this case, using the word Nazi, you go to the Jewish head of the Anti-Defamation League, Abe Foxman, and apologize to him. Is this madness or what? Here's what he said. Quote, "This morning you might be receiving calls because I used the word Nazi attitudes to describe the NPR officials who fired Juan Williams. I was, of course, ad-libbing and should not have chosen that word, but I was angry at the time because of NPR's willingness to censor Juan Williams for not being liberal enough. I'm writing this just to let you know some background, but also to apologize for using Nazi when in my now considered opinion, nasty, inflexible bigot would have worked better. Juan Williams is a good man, and I like you as a friend. And my friends never have to worry about me sticking up for them. Even if I'm occasionally politically incorrect, I never leave any doubts about my loyalty." End quote. And then Abe Foxman issued a statement accepting Roger Ailes' apology. Foxman's a Holocaust survivor. He said in his statement, quote, "I welcome Roger Ailes' apology, which is as sincere as it is heartfelt. Nazi comparisons of this nature are clearly inappropriate and offensive. While I wish Roger had never invoked that terminology, I appreciate his efforts to immediately reach out and to retract his words before they did any further harm." End quote. Really, Abe? That's it? That's it. Roger Ailes, all he has to do after slamming National Public Radio that he would like to see disappear and using a term that is asinine on its face and insane when you get it half an inch below the surface, and you're going to absolve him. You are offering absolution. Isn't this weird? Abe Foxman giving absolution to Roger Ailes. Abe, he didn't say you were a Nazi. He said National Public Radio was a Nazi. Why doesn't he? Never mind. What the hell do I care about? This is like paying attention to Sarah Palin's daughter on Dancing with the Idiots, right? On television? We're coming back to your calls in just a second. Matt in East Jordan, Michigan, not Jordan, Michigan. He mentioned to me today that this is the anniversary of the mass suicide in Jonestown, Guyana, back in November, on November 18th, 1978. People's Temple leader Jim Jones leads hundreds of his followers in a mass murder-suicide at their agricultural commune in remote northwestern Guyana. The few cult members who refused to take the cyanide-laced, fruit-flavored concoction were either forced to do so at gunpoint or shot as they fled. The final death toll was 913, including 276 children. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this is a very important day for Glenn Beck. I'm sure he is well aware of this date. His entire career is modeled on Jim Jones. Everything that Glenn Beck does, especially what he's doing now. I understand I've been getting emails from people to say now he's picking targets, people and organizations, not that this is anything new, but he's becoming crazed about it. You know, the man is sick in the goddamn head. He really is. But if Glenn Beck wants to emulate and model Jim Jones, I say, Glenn, go for it. Go ahead. Just don't take 913 people, including 276 children, with you. You're a sick son of a bitch. Either get help or step off the planet. Huh? Do you remember that? You have to be a certain age to remember what happened in Guyana. All right, we have a break here. Yeah, we do. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back to your phone calls. And we have a whole stack of things here I want to try to get to tonight. Probably won't be able to do it, but we're going to make a sincere effort, right? So, Steve and Philip and Martin, stay there. We'll come back after this break and get your phone call. This is the Malloy Program. Stay with us.
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
So what's this? I hadn't heard about this. Elaine sent me an email here. It's in Vanity Fair online. Beck the other day called, or was it today? Yesterday, it's there online. Vanity Fair called a veterans group a communist front organization, a nonpartisan veterans group, people who have been in combat, a communist front organization. Really? And I agree with Rachel Maddow. When is somebody ever going to hold these people responsible for what they're saying? Hour two of the program tonight is sponsored by Bill in Paso Robles, California, who writes, I gratefully contribute this $100 that the show may go on, even as the country staggers. Keep up your strength, Mike and Kathy. Thanks, Bill. Martin is in Detroit, listening on XM. Hey, Martin.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I was originally going to kind of start out with a little bit of a pithy comment, but I've been on since you read that letter from Wayne. I just kind of don't feel it's appropriate. I was just going to say, don't discourage the rich to leave. Now let them stay. And that way we can get a little bit of justice out of all of this.
The problem is that when you have a ruling class that is as wealthy, one of the callers tonight referenced the French Revolution and what occurred afterward, what was referred to ongoing several years of the terror, where first the the wealthy were beheaded, and the nobility, the aristocracy, but then it got out of hand. You know, once the guillotine starts to swing and starts to slice down people, and people see how effective they can remove from society the vermin and the pigs and the people that were making their lives miserable, it's very hard to stop the guillotine blade from coming down again and again and again. And the estimates of the people killed in the terror following the French Revolution are iffy at best. It was a literal bloodletting, the likes of which, in the terms of the way it was done, I mean, where people were actually, I realize in revolutions people die, but this was where people were hauled up and beheaded in the town square or downtown Paris or what have you. I forgot where I was going with that, but I think what I'm saying is the American people can only put up with this for so long. We have a ruling class in this country, a wealth class. They're not ruling because they're smart or because they are better. They are ruling because they control the political system. They control the money flow. And once you control both of those things, what the hell is left? Plus, they inject as much fear as they can into society. They tell people to go to church or go to their synagogues and, let God worry about you, because we damn sure are not going to. And at some point, Martin, there will be a rebellion in this country that will be very difficult to stop. It's one of those things, a chain reaction. Once people realize that they have no recourse, they have no recourse to the courts, no recourse to the legislative system, no recourse through the business class, then the explosion will occur.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree. I'm the one who writes you occasionally from the Workers' Party, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
here.
Okay, cool.
Exactly. I mean, right now, it's one thing to look back in the history of the French Revolution. I mean, the American Revolution that's where the whole concept of tar and feathering
right.
became popular in this country is from the American Revolution. They did similar things, to pro-rebels during the Civil War. Right now, too, if you want to look at France, I would look at what's happening there today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fight that they're going on, that's still continuing there over the issue of the retirement age. And over the reforms that they want to do there. They're very similar to what Obama's commission's just put up, in the last week in terms of what they want to do here to Social Security and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
They've been organizing against the attacks on their living standards and their livelihood.
Right.
It's not an impossible thing to do. All we have to do is just look across the ocean. They're not doing difficult things. They're not doing the impossible. They're doing basically what they can, and, they're doing it with limited resources. It's word of mouth. We can do those things as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk to our coworkers every day. We're with them more a lot of times than our own family. We can talk to them. We can discuss with them. We can organize. It doesn't have to be a big media show. It doesn't have to be glitz and glamour.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it probably would be better if it wasn't, because the unglamorous work is always the stuff that's most productive.
Well, I agree, and I hope, Martin, that what used to be referred to, the people in this country that used to be referred to as the working class, of which I'm certainly a member, the middle class, which is, I guess I fit in the bottom rung of that, but there are millions, there are tens of millions of us. We are not Republicans, we are not conservatives, we don't listen to Glenn Beck, and we think Sarah Palin is a dumbass. And I hope at some point, we can start to organize, as has been done so many times in the history of this country, and resist. That's what I'm hoping. Martin, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. Appreciate you checking in.
Listening to Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
25 before the hour, and this hour is brought to you by Bill in Paso Robles, California. Who writes, Mike, I gratefully contribute the $100 that the show may go on, even as the country staggers. Keep up your strength, Mike and Kathy, from Bill in Paso Robles, California. If you want to be a sponsor, go to MikeMalloy.com and click on the toolbar at the top where it says sponsor. Steve is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Good evening, Mike. Like I told Kathy when she first answered, it just made my heart hurt when I heard the announcement of the vote earlier today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
About the unemployment benefits extension. And just a quick shout to Wayne. Hang in there, brother. And it's incumbent on those of us who still have a little bit left to seek out the Waynes and you know help what we can.
Yeah, you know? I know, and it is, and I guess what makes me furious is first the bastards want to defund everything that helps people when they're desperate, and then defund everything that keeps people from becoming desperate. And then kick everybody to the curb so that folks, become so discouraged, so depressed, so freaked out. I can't find words to talk about it. I just can't.
Exactly.
Because I get so furious, about what's going on in this country. And this yeah. could be stopped tomorrow, but the Republicans and the Blue Dog Democrats will not do it, and Obama does not have the presence or the self-confidence to stop it himself. All he has to do, I don't mean to say all he has to do, but what he has to do is to start instituting some programs like the WPA and projects that were put together by Roosevelt when this country was facing the Great Depression. And Obama could do it. He could raise his middle finger to the ruling class and say, and I realize Obama and his wife have a net worth that's way beyond reach of a lot of people in this country, but he could do it if he chose to do it. And so far he hasn't. And this is a part that's so discouraging.
Yeah. And one thing people have to realize is that business does not create jobs. Demand creates jobs.
That's right. That's right.
And they're killing demand. I guess they expect us all to, you know, sell burgers to each other and deliver pizzas to each other. But, you know, time's running out.
Yeah.
So is the money.
It is. It is.
So is the demand.
Steve, thanks for checking in.
Peace, brother.
All right. Take care. Yeah. Tax breaks to businesses, as Steve pointed out, do not create jobs. They do not. The only thing that creates jobs in a capitalist society is demand for products that take labor to make. A couple of emails here. Ron in Briarwood, New York writes, Mike, how sick is this? Of the 11 Democrats who voted no on the unemployment extension, 7 were defeated in the last election, and 1 is retiring. They had nothing to lose, and yet they voted against. There has to be a special place in hell for scum like this. Ron and Briarwood. It makes you wonder, doesn't it, what the scenario was? These seven Democrats who were defeated, maybe back in their home districts, a lot of unemployment, and they figured, well, I'll teach these bastards a lesson. Vote me out of office, will they? Seven were defeated. Okay, well, that's good. Those seven that are gone and one is retired, eight of those 11 are gone. That leaves three that need to be gotten gone in the next election, and the seven bastards who didn't even bother showing up. And like I say, it doesn't matter to me. In this kind of a situation, if they were having heart surgery, it doesn't matter. Robert Byrd used to show up with being pushed into the chambers pretty much on a hospital bed to vote for critical issues. I think the seven that didn't show up probably were trying to reassure their election back in their blue dog pissant Democrat districts. From Steve, the banker. Mike, the vote today in the House failing to pass the unemployment extension will cause untold hardship, hunger, stress, more homelessness, more poverty, and more despair, as well as more people with less health care and loss of hope, and a greater loss of hope. And at the same time, yes, the IPO of GM, making a handful of investors richer, supported by the taxpayers who can no longer afford the cars GM produces. In the meantime, the small business meltdown in this country continues as hundreds of thousands more small business concerns across the entire country are down 50 to 90% in gross revenue compared to just 3 years ago. The pain, the real pain and agony of millions of people in this country are simply a path to a Republican majority again in 2012. The people losing their homes, those who are hungry, are the ones who will provide the political demonization of the Republican war machine, a war of the Republicans on America and the American family. The Republicans will simply use the poor, the homeless, and those in agony to stay in power. And after all this, another 4 years in Afghanistan, another period of time equal to World War II, another 4 years, $4 trillion more for nothing but the industrial Republican war machine. Signed from very angry Steve the banker. I've heard too many stories from my customers to stop fighting the Republican morons. Yeah. Gordon in Oklahoma. Mike, the loss of extended unemployment benefits will affect every working person in this country. Millions of desperately unemployed will, over time, be beaten down enough to accept just about any hourly rate offered. This will result in a downward spiral of wages, which will spread throughout all of the working class in this country like a pandemic. Only the owners of this country will be spared, at least for now. Gordon. It cannot, this suffering, this being told by your fellow citizens that your life is worthless, your children's lives are worthless, the life of your spouse is worthless, you are worthless, everything about you is worthless. How many people are going to roll over and accept that? Granted, some of us, big numbers of us probably, have been beaten down so hard that it's very difficult to find the energy to resist. But at some point, I keep thinking and hoping, at some point, we'll reach a tipping point. And then the people in this country will say, that's enough, and there will be rebellion. Where that rebellion goes is risky. It could go any place. The way it resolves, it could resolve itself in ways that we don't even want to think about. But it will happen, and the wealthy class better understand it, because when the time comes, howling mobs are not going to be looking, hunting down members of Congress. You know that as well as I do. Unemployment numbers. Bruce writes, long-term unemployed are counted separate from those receiving regular benefits. These two numbers don't count the discouraged workers who stop signing up at job services to look for work. Attempts are made to count all unemployed and underemployed, and that currently is estimated at 18%. Early retirement and people who go back to school aren't counted. The real purpose is, of course, to make people more desperate so they will work for anything on any terms, and more importantly, to put the fear of God into those who still have jobs to take pay cuts and suffer whatever abuse is heaped on them. Abusing the helpless at Christmas also has considerable appeal for the GOP, God's own party. And from Jim in California, Burlingame, Mike, I have to disagree with caller James regarding the unemployment rate. The rate is calculated by the Bureau of Labor Statistics as the ratio of people unemployed and looking for work versus the number of people in the workforce. The workforce is defined as the total number of people working or looking for work and are below the retirement age. The government has a number of variations on this, such as when part-time workers looking for full-time work are counted, or people not looking because they gave up. It's very confusing. Of course, most of this is bull blank. For example, a lot of people between 62 and 65, below the retirement age, took early retirement because employers were not knocking their doors down to hire them. In defense of James, the government has been keeping a count of the length of time people have been on unemployment. Once these people are cut off, that number will top out, and I'm sure the Republicans will make hay of that. Bastards. Jim in Burlingame. P.S. Wayne, don't let the bastards get you down. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
Ten before the hour. If you're on hold, stay there. I will get your call. Well, Philip here has been holding on forever. Hey, Philip.
Hey, Mike.
In San Diego, listening online. Sorry it took so long.
Oh, that's okay. I'm going to have to write another email today to the Anti-Defamation League because Bush was here in town today, and I used the word Nazi, so I'm going to have to write an email.
You better get a hold of Abe Foxman and tell him what you did. Bad boy.
Yes, bad me. Bad. This is just the tip of the iceberg, I think, for what we're going to see the Republicans do, because it's very easy to balance your budget on the backs of the poor, because when you're worried about where you're going to get your next meal, whether you're going to lose your house and everything else, you can't worry about much else. And I've been there. I've been in the place where Wayne is now, you know, and you just got to hang on because it does get better if you reach out to people. But unfortunately, in this country, and they worked on it a long time, we've been sold the idea that anybody that's on unemployment, that's on welfare or anything like that, are just a bunch of lazy bastards that don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really not the case anymore, because
It's hard to find work here. I've got relatives. I'm in my 40s, but I've got relatives that are looking for work that are in their 20s. And I, you know, 20 years ago, when I was younger, and yeah, it was easy for me as a person in the 20s and teens to find a part-time job or a job. It was easy then, but now they can't find it now. And we have a place here called St. Vincent de Paul's that takes care of homeless people and transient people. And it's changed over the last 6-7 years. You just don't see single people there being housed there that are homeless and in trouble. You're seeing families now. You see families, moms, dads, their kids. And that's the people it's going to affect. So are we going to have a revolution? Probably, because with any person that's abused, you know, you take an abused child, an abused person, a kid that's abused, anybody that's abused, eventually they break out and say, enough of the abuse. And I think as a collective population, we're going to do that as well pretty soon. Because people, like you said, can only take so much of this.
Yeah, especially,
before they break, you know?
Especially in a society that it was designed to make people feel guilty if they didn't have the latest this or the newest that. Every time one of these goddamn iPad or iPod or telephones that will do everything except perform oral sex on you shows up in the store, you know, and you see people lining up 15 hours before this gimmick, this piece of electronic horse crap goes on sale, you know, I just want to pull my eyes out. I mean, what the hell is wrong with people? So we live in this society where you are identified by what you can own, what you can buy, what new crap. Every morning I get the New York Times and I open up page 2 and page 3 where they have the ads going up and down the sides of the pages. You know, shoes on sale for $1,500, leather jackets for $3,500, you know, little Eisenhower length jackets, a ring for $35,000. And I think to myself, okay, I realize this is the New York Times, but Jesus H. Christ, is nobody paying attention to the, it's like a waste of time, Philip, almost, but eventually people are going to say no. This is not going to continue. Thanks, Philip. I appreciate you checking in. This is interesting. Sheila's in Oklahoma, isn't she? Kathy, you know who I mean, right? Isn't Sheila in Oklahoma? I think so. If you're not, Sheila, I'm sorry. And Zan in Minneapolis. Zan in Minneapolis writes, I have no doubt that the members of Congress who have already been voted out, who voted against extended unemployment benefits, are simply applying for their next job as lobbyists or board members or whatever is open to former lawmakers that are not open to us. They will not be moving back to their districts. They will stay in Washington. That's where the money is. Okay, Zan in Minneapolis writes that. Sheila writes, in Oklahoma, I would bet that these creeps who voted against the jobs bill already have lobbyist jobs in the corporate world. They can't go back home because there are no jobs. I just find the synchronicity of that interesting, but that's just me. and I do have an email here from Wayne in New Jersey, who wrote me that email about being so down and out. And I want to share it with you when we come back. I also have the list, thanks to Tom, of those Democrats who voted no on extending unemployment benefits, or who did not vote. I'll share that with you when we come back. And a few more emails. And your phone calls. I realize I'm keeping people on hold tonight a little bit longer than normal, but at least I'm taking calls. How often do I do that, right? So stick around. We're going to take our usual top-of-the-hour break here, and we'll be back and continue on with your phone calls and the rest of the program, all right? That is if all the equipment works. Oh, there's the music. See, that's automated. That worked. Wow. Okay, stay there. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. After reading this second letter from Wayne in New Jersey, I've decided not to read it on the air. Kathy, you responded to it, right? Okay. This hour is sponsored by, where'd you put it, Kathy? This hour, is sponsored by EvolveFish.com. EvolveFish.com. You're familiar with them. Visit EvolveFish.com for unique gift ideas. EvolveFish. We have one on the back of my pickup truck. It says, what does it say, Darwin? No, it says Evolve, and it's got feet.
And a wrench.
And a wrench? Really? It's, well, yours does. Mine is just feet. Little bitty feets on a little bitty fish. anyway, evolvefish.com is the sponsor for this hour. And thanks. All right, the Democrats who voted against the extension, the Unemployment Compensation Continuation Act, Emergency Unemployment Compensation Continuation Act, not voting were Corrine Brown, Democrat of Florida, Delahunt of Massachusetts, Kennedy of Rhode Island, Lynch of Massachusetts, McMahon of New York, Moran of Virginia, and Space of Ohio. Voting no, Barry of Arkansas, Boyd of Florida, Bright of Alabama, Cooper of Tennessee, Davis of Tennessee, Hill of Indiana, Minnick of Idaho, Nye of Virginia, Peterson of Minnesota, Schuler of North Carolina, and Taylor of Mississippi. And as someone pointed out, seven of those people were defeated in the last election. One is retiring. Andrew New York writes, Mike, I guess it won't take that long to start to see the social fabric of this nation to begin to break down. Hunger, hopelessness, and homelessness makes a person do things that one may normally not do. In my opinion, the U.S. Congress will be besieged in protest, and if there is no significant redress, there will be chaos. The executive branch of these United States will cease to exist. My only hope is that massive protesting will suffice and that the military would not turn on the broken and abused citizenry of this nation, but instead support them. These are some interesting times. To quote the old Chinese curse, Mike, or no, that was Andrew in New York. Terry is in L.A. listening on XM. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Mike. It's always a great pleasure listening to your show.
Well, thanks.
I've been a Democrat all my life, and I was actually in the Democratic Party here in L.A. in the 90s. And, you know, I get really, really frustrated about, God, when do they do something? But, you know, the problem is that education in this country over the last 40 years has been destroyed. And economics is not taught. American system economics is not taught anymore. American history is not taught anymore. So when you talk about, oh, we need to do Franklin Roosevelt policy, which is the only thing that's going to save us, even Democrats go, well, it's old stuff, and, you know, now it's the 21st century, and they don't get it. I mean, and that's why everybody is so freaking frustrated, because neither side has a clue. We know the Republicans are going to destroy us. The Democrats are too stupid to stop it. So how are we going to win this? You know, that's just, God.
Well, you know, I feel essentially the same as you do, Terry. I guess the difference would be, and I don't know if this is a difference or not, because you didn't say whether or not you believe that the system should continue. You know, the position that I've come to, and I've come to it very slowly and in a very difficult way, because I am a product of this culture, this society, this economic system, and I've been in it a long time. Just like it took me probably 40 years to recognize that since I am a white male, I am essentially, I've been filled with racist stuff, and it's been a struggle to overcome it. It's been a struggle, likewise, to overcome any kind of belief whatsoever in our economic system, capitalism. Because the ultimate conclusion of capitalism is fascism. There's nowhere else for it to go. By definition, this is what happens. What we're seeing are the end stages of capitalism and the initial stages of fascism. So I have zero faith in the current economic system, none whatsoever. If you take a look at what the financial industry is doing, churning the stock market, coming up with all kinds of nonsense to sell to hapless investors around the globe because they still think that the United States is worth putting money into, and American investors. This is smoke and mirrors of the worst kind. So, to me, the next step is democratic socialism. I'm not talking about Russian socialism. I'm talking about Chinese socialism or any Cuban. I'm talking about democratic socialism, where five or six key major industries in this country are nationalized. That means that it's owned and funded by us, the government, by us, the governed, and that the rest of the economic system is run on the model that the framers put out there without realizing. I mean, you know, what the hell? They were in the latter stages of the 18th century. What did they know? The Industrial Revolution hadn't even occurred yet. But the small business model that everybody talks about in this country, the small businesses are the drivers of the system here. Small businesses don't bankrupt the country. Small businesses don't destroy the economy. Now, private banks can. We've had more bank failures here in Georgia than any other state in the union. But small businesses put people to work. Small businesses don't roll the dice and steal everything they can get their goddamn hands on the way the capitalists do. So small businesses, small family farms, entrepreneurship, not far from my house, about 6 miles, there is a little steel mill. You know where I'm talking about. On the way into Decatur, Georgia, there's a little steel mill. It's very quiet. There's not great big smoke stacks. It doesn't spew out all kinds of crap into the atmosphere. What they do is get steel sheeting and turn it into products and designs and I don't think they employ more than 75 people, but it's a steel factory, not a steel mill. They're not milling steel, but they're working with steel. Not far from where we live are honest to God small farms, are honest to God small businesses. And these people struggle not because their business is bad. Their business is great. Yeah, we happen to own one. But well, more of this when we come back. We got a break here. Stay with us.
Don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Small businesses. The people that we know, and we know several that opted out of corporate hog snot a long time ago. Excuse me. And I have one friend who employs maybe four people. Another friend who she's totally self-employed. Another friend who's totally self-employed. Kathy and I were talking the other day, how many of the people that we know work in the corporate world? I only have one adult child who works in the corporate world. One of my other kids is self-employed. Another one is about to graduate nursing school. I don't know if that counts as self-employed or not. Depends on what he does. But his wife is an attorney. She doesn't work for corporate America. Right. She works for a nonprofit. And her job is to sue the Christ out of people or at least she doesn't get into litigation, but to set up the mechanism to sue people who are destroying the planet. But not the people I know, because they don't rely on so much on loans to do their work. But there are a lot of small businesses like this steel company I was talking about. They don't give a rat's ass about tax breaks. What does that mean? This is the lie that the Republicans put out there. What this little company that employs 75 or 80 steel workers, what they rely on is demand for their product. Well, what does this mean? Tax break for small business. That is a lie that the right wing put together to convince people once again to vote against their own best interests. So the one thing that some small businesses do need, though, are loans to get them over the hump when demand for their product is down, or when they want to expand, when they want to build expand their capacity to produce whatever it is they're producing, even if they're producing fruits and vegetables. So if the capitalists have so screwed the financial system that nobody's going to take loans, or no one's going to give loans, what is a small business supposed to do? And these filthy, putrid Republicans then talk about, well, you know, we're going to give you tax breaks. Tax breaks on what? What the hell are you talking about? It's a scam. Oh, by the way, this hour is brought to you by EvolveFish.com. Go there for unique gift ideas. That's the truth. I bought my first EvolveFish thingy from the back page of the Nation, the marketplace in the Nation. EvolveFish, I think, is in there constantly. I think that's where we got our first, huh? Yeah, it is. It's, you know what you ought to do? You ought to buy, you go to EvolveFish.com, buy some of those Darwin fish, or I like the one that's a fish and inside it says gefilte. You know, buy some, or the one that says in chips. Buy some of those and send them to your really, really Christian friends. No, the real Christians would laugh and think it's very funny. Send it to the phony Christians, the fundamentalists, the evangelicals. Send it to them.
And if you really want to drive them crazy, sponsor an hour of the Malloy Show in their name.
In their name. Oh, no, don't do that. No, we have, we do have a little check and balance on that, you know. Jesus, Kathy, give them ammunition to screw everything up, right? You made too many pies today, didn't you? You did.
I made a pumpkin pie.
And then that apple pie. I want to destroy that apple pie.
Touch that apple pie.
I know.
And there'll be murder. It's investigation. CSI will show up outside with
right
body scanners and black lights. And
we celebrate anti-Thanksgiving. You know, anti in the sense of the lies and mythology that are put out there about what Thanksgiving really is.
Molly's going to be Squanto.
I know, I know. The kid, you know, and
very excited.
And last year she was the angel that announced the birth of Jesus.
Where are we going wrong here?
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
It's the public school system.
All the mythologies that we fight against, Molly just embraces. She told me the other day, I want to send my daughter to that kindergarten so she can be the angel too.
Yeah, so one year she's the angel who announces the arrival of the Christian Savior, and this year she's the Indian woman who does what? I forget what Squanto does.
I don't know if she taught him how to use the dead fish to grow the corn or what.
That name was always just right borderline obscene to me anyway, you know, Squanto. Be careful. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's Mike Malloy.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those nads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field.
25 before the hour.
Exactly real.
And the hour is brought to you by Evolve exactly Fish. There. Visit EvolveFish.com for unique gift ideas. Sean is in Washington State. Been holding on forever. Thanks for waiting, Sean.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, I've been doing my best to, you know, keep informed about the causes of the Great Recession. And besides listening to you and Prairie 2,
mm-hmm.
There's several great books out there. I actually own The Great American Stick-Up by Robert Scheer.
Uh-huh.
And then recently, Matt Taibbi has a new book out called Griftopia that looks really special.
Yeah.
On the internet, of course, there's Richard Wolff with mm-hmm. Capitalism Hits the Fan. That's probably one of the best things I've seen. And finally, Bethany McLean of Enron fame has got a new book out there called All the Devils Are Here. That looks like it's going to be really, really good. But anyway, the reason I called tonight, Mike, is...
Wait, who's the author of that one, All the Devils?
Bethany McLean, All the Devils Are Here. I think she co-authored that one.
Bethany McLean.
I think it's L-E-A-N.
Okay. All the Devils Are Here. Okay, cool.
I think that's going to be really special. I'm pretty sure she wrote The Smartest Guys in the Room about Enron.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've seen her interviewed a couple places now. Just sounds like it's going to be really excellent. But the reason I called today, though, Mike, is, you know, I don't throw the word Nazi around very much. Like when it comes to Glenn Beck, for example, I've always kind of referred to him as like a corporate fascist. I think that's probably the most accurate.
But isn't that a Nazi?
Well, over the last couple of days, it seems like he's really crossed a line.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the things that always confused me about Hitler and the Nazis is that they would simultaneously accuse Jews of being communist revolutionaries,
right,
as well as greedy capitalist bankers.
Right.
Well, and Glenn has crossed the line over the last couple of days because he's now saying that the quote-unquote international bankers like George Soros have intentionally manufactured the Great Recession because secretly they are totalitarian socialists of some kind.
Hello? Does that sound familiar? The slanders that were put on the Jews in Germany in the 20s and 30s, Beck, I mean, I don't know what it takes for people to understand, as apparently you have, I have, a lot of people have, but his 5 or 6 or 7 million viewers to understand that he is precisely, just like Bush and Cheney, precisely following the National Socialist Playbook is put together by Goebbels and Himmler and Hitler and the theoreticians who brought Nazi Germany into being. I don't know why people don't see that.
Is he reading Mein Kampf now, or who is the propagandist? Stryker, I think, was one of them. I mean, that is straight out of Mein Kampf.
It is.
Glenn Beck is officially a Nazi in my eyes from now on.
Absolutely. When you start blaming George Soros, Soros is the whipping boy. He's been the code word for, the rich liberals who are destroying everything. I don't know.
Yeah, he's throwing around the words Rothschild and Rockefeller.
Right.
And so he's, you know, all the code words are present, or, you know, he's not even being subtle about it anymore.
Right. It's amazing to see. And I don't know why there has not been a reaction to end, not just Beck's program, but at what point does a pure propaganda operation that broadcasts 24/7, radio and television, they own the Wall Street Journal, they own at what point does a propaganda organization become a threat to the stability of a country to the extent that it can be shut down, removed? This is what puts us liberals in a hell of a box.
Well, and what gets me, Mike, is that these same so-called conservatives, they're the very people who push for deregulation, who push for social Darwinism, for competition, survival of the fittest and all that,
right,
and exclusivity. And then that's what creates the economic catastrophe. And yet they turn that, somehow it becomes, you know, the quote-unquote international banker's fault, when it's their ideology that has put us in this mess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's, I don't know, Sean. We are so far through the looking glass as to render most of us shades. It's just unbelievable.
Well, I'm used to Pat Robertson and Ron Paul and people like that, giving all these code words. But, you know, Glenn, he is officially crossed the line now, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Probably nothing. Sean, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, all right?
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, take care. Yeah, I've read a couple of things. I've just kind of pulled myself away from the fascination of this filthy car wreck that is Glenn Beck. I mean, how often can you kick the son of a bitch on my little tiny radio program? Glenn Beck is a massive presence, just like Sarah Palin is a massive presence in this culture now, in this society. So what's the point? I mean, my existence relative to Glenn Beck's is the same as the flea behind the ear on an elephant, even less. So what's the point? He's a scum-sucking son of a bitch, and given a chance, I would like to see him fall in any manner. I don't care what manner. He is a threat to everything that I consider to be ethical, moral, proper, fair, just. It's just, you know, why bother? Glenn Beck, you know, every generation produces one of these pigs, a massive son of a bitch, just like the last one was Limbaugh. If you go back far enough, you find Father Coughlin, this insane priest who believed that all Jews should be burned in ovens. Oh, wait a minute. That really did happen, didn't it? I'm just on and on and on. You always find these demagogues, these right-wing neo-Nazis or proto-Nazis. And my identification of Beck as being that type of rabble-rouser was not some gratuitous use of the term Nazi. As Sean pointed out, you know, once you start that international bankers and Soros is deliberately yada, 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 how close are you to the Nazi playbook? Are you in chapter 5? 10? I don't know. It's just, it gets very discouraging. It really does. Especially to see Americans who have no sense of not only their own history, but no sense of any political history at all. No political history. No political history in terms of the world. Certainly no political history in terms of the United States. It's just, I don't know. It's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me. That this is tolerated. Matthew is in Bedford, Texas. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
It has been a while. Well, you were talking about, you know, what it would take for open rebellion to happen, right?
Hey, by the way, hi, Matthew. We haven't talked for a long time.
I know.
Well, I'm glad to hear from
you.
Are you married yet? Do you have children? Are you? Have you been elected to some government position? What have you been doing, Matthew?
Well, I've been looking for a job, and see, my stipulations are I want a job with gratuitous hours and horrible pay. So I decided to get into broadcasting.
Oh, well. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what I've been learning to do.
Uh-huh.
God help me. But anyway, you know, I've been listening to you. I've been a silent lurker, I guess. And, you know, I guess I picked a hell of a day to call in. But, you know, you were talking what it would take for something, you know, of a momentous movement to happen. And I just wanted to give my perspective, like, from my generation, which is growing into adulthood and generations before me, and unfortunately, and I'm not going to paint a broad brush here, because there will be people of my age and younger who will be politically active and knowledgeable, but, you know, we, unfortunately, you know, the last election or the couple elections ago, it was a bit of a rooster tease, mm-hmm. if you'll get the innuendo, because unfortunately the youth of America are very aesthetically oriented. We like the bright, shiny thing.
That's true. Matthew, hold on. I got to do a commercial. I'll come right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This hour is sponsored by Evolfish. Visit evolfish.com for unique gift ideas. Back to Matthew in Bedford, Texas. All right, where were we?
We were just talking about your
generation is fascinated by things that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm guilty of this, too. I love my iPad and my iPhone and all that. But, you know, really, what the older generations I've noticed is banking on is the energy of our youth kind of getting involved in the political spectrum. And unfortunately, not all of us, but a good chunk of us are stupid. And we don't care about politics. We just care about, you know, texting and all that stuff. Now, a lot of that will have to do with, you know, a lot of our youth have no real responsibility, and when the world comes crashing in on them, then they'll notice either, wow, holy crap, you know, I need to start paying more attention, or they'll call up daddy and, you know, give them money. But the thing is, you know, the selfishness that my generation has shown, I'm afraid it's gonna kind of stick with us until, you know, we get into a situation where we're going to have to look at the world around us and say, we need to change this. We need to stand up. We need to rebel against this. And, you know, it might happen, but unfortunately, you know, again, I don't want to paint with a broad brush, because there are some wonderful people of my generation, younger generation out there, doing the work that they need to be doing. But the vast majority of us, We're sitting, we're fat, we're happy on our iPads playing our PlayStations and wondering who's going to win the next America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, I find it absolutely repugnant. I know that my parents and my elders find it absolutely repugnant. But the sheer level of apathy that's been happening, you know, especially after Obama became president, and okay, we got our bright, shiny new beacon of hope in the White House. You know, they either don't care that he's not doing anything, or they're upset that he's not doing anything, but they're not doing what needs to be done to make what they want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is the mark of my generation until we get up, we stand up, and we figure out that what we're doing, we're fueling our own destruction, you know.
Well, it's true. And, of course, you understand, Matthew, it's not just your generation. You can claim apathy and claim it righteously. My generation and the one between you and me, I would think my generation is just combat fatigue. And the generation immediately succeeding yours or preceding yours or whatever between yours and mine, it's a matter of survival, where there just doesn't seem to be enough time or energy to devote to anything other than trying to stay afloat in a culture, or not a culture, but in a political system that is dying. American empire is coming to an end. We have the 20th century. That belonged to the United States, for the most part. We did some good things. We did some horrible things. But this is the 21st century, and this century is, it belongs to the East. It is China's, at least this first half of it. The second half may be India's, or it may be 2100 before it's India's turn. But this is no longer America's century. We still have military presence in 80 countries. That's going to stop, or we are going to find ourselves in 80 wars. So I think all three generations that are in existence now, and that's how I break it down into three generations that still are either active to some degree, all three generations have to face one salient fact. The empire, American empire, is dying. Capitalism, you want to see the face of capitalism, it is what's happening in China. State capitalism, which is fascism. I don't know how else to put it. State capitalism, where the workers are allowed to have the illusion that their earnings mean something, but it's totally dependent on the state. And that's the coming wave. So I don't know. Apathy for your generation, maybe it's just a new awareness that, there really is no point in continuing to struggle. Well, I don't know, Matthew.
It's almost at one hand a terrifying thing, and on the other hand,
sure,
almost a comforting thing to know that, you know, by the time I'm your age, which happens to be my parents' age at this point, but, you know, the America that I grew up in will not exist.
That's right.
Or at least, you know, as we know it. Either it will be in the hands of the people, or, you know, the more predictable outcome is the people will lose interest, the Republicans will win complete control again, and we'll be driven so far into the ground that, you know, it'll start getting warm around us, don't get me wrong, but,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's going to be, and, you know, I can only speak for my generation, obviously, because, you know, I'm around them a lot, I talk to them every day, I hear from them every day. But, you know, I'm not going to be surprised when I'm going to have somebody who's younger than I am or older than I am turn to me and say, you know, where were you? Where were you when everything was bad, and why didn't you at least try to help? I mean, and when they mean, you know, my age group. And I won't have an answer for them. We voted. We voted, so, and then we stopped voting.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a nice, big, bright, shiny president to vote for anymore.
I hear you. Matthew, I've got to leave it there. We are flat out of time. I'm glad you called. Don't be a stranger. All right? Take care, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow night. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Other people.